Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with our guest speaker. Hey guys, Pastor Tim here. Before we dive into our program this week, I wanted to take a minute and invite each of you to join us next Sunday for our Easter service at 10 a.m. This will be a time of celebration, remembering that Jesus has paid it all, that he has made a way where there is no way. And I can't wait to see you all. God bless.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we just want to thank you have to come together and to praise and to worship you. Lord, we want to thank you for the way that you provided throughout this week and coming up to it. Lord, we thank you for the offerings. And Lord, we ask that we use it for your glory and not our own. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's go ahead and stand. I want to teach you a new song this morning.
Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I hide from your presence, God? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. Yeah, you are there. Lord, when I'm lost in the darkness, when I arise with the breaking dawn, I put my hope in the promise that you are there. Yeah, you are there.
Yeah. Wanting a place. favor be upon you in a thousand generation, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you in a thousand generations, in your family and your children and their children and their children.
Gracious to you, Lord.
Father, we just say thank you that we can come before you and that you want to give us peace. So, Father, we just say thank you that you are there no matter what we're going through, no matter whether there's sickness and health, whether there's pain or joy. Father, you are there. And you give us peace when there is no peace. So, Lord, we just say thank you for your amazing, amazing grace and your amazing, amazing love. You are so worthy and so good. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning. So Pastor Tim had some stuff going on this week, and so he wanted to be there for Melissa, so he begged and pleaded for me to bring the word today. Beg and pleaded. I mean, just, I get it. But before we get into the message, go ahead, stand up. I'm going to give you 38 seconds. To go meet someone around you, go ahead. You got 38 seconds. Go.
Can you mention prayer sometime?
Yeah. All right, that's good. Quit having fun. The question is, did you stay in your own section? I know you guys probably didn't over here. Can you take some of that boom out of my mic here somehow? Because I boomy. So this morning, before I forget and get into the message, Pastor Tim wanted to remind me, or remind you, that we have our prayer and praise service this morning or this afternoon at 4:00. It's a great time to get together with other people and to pray for the needs of the church, and you do not want to miss it. It's going to be a good time of praying over each other, and that's what a church is supposed to be doing, is praying over one another. So let me just pray, and then we will get into the message. So, Father, we just come before you this morning, and we say thank you that you are good, that you are worthy of our praise. We say thank you that we can come before you and learn more about who you are and what you've done on the cross for us. Father, we say thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You ready, Jamie? All right. So, Chicago Bulls, everyone knows Michael Jordan, right? Won how many championships, you know, here in the 90s with 6 NBA championships, like in a row almost, I think it was. So, what do you think his legacy is going to be? Is it going to be for what he did on the course, or what he did on the courts, or what he did off the course? Here you go, have a basketball. What do you think Michael Jordan's legacy is going to be?
Next picture. Andre Agassi. Do you guys remember this guy? Man, he was a flamboyant tennis player. He was my favorite tennis player because he wasn't afraid to argue with the ref. He wasn't afraid to argue with the line judge. But it's like you can be a great tennis player and look like that. I love that. Any tennis players here in the house? Any tennis players? No? Here, have a tennis ball. The greatest soccer player ever. Yes. Lionel Messi. Greatest soccer player ever. Now, I actually have coached a little bit of soccer, but nothing like what this guy can do with a ball. I mean, this guy is amazing with a soccer ball. I mean, the trick shots that he can do, I mean, he can make this ball do anything. Now this guy, who can tell me who this is? You got to reach back into 1985. Come on.
Jim McMahon.
Jim McMahon, yeah. Now this guy was not exactly the greatest football player. He wasn't the greatest player at all, but he could run that offense. And if you remember correctly, all you had to do was step back the three steps and hand it off to who? Walter Payton. Sweetness. Walter Payton. Now, who can remember outside of Walter Payton, there was this one man that he handed it off to that scored a touchdown?
The Fridge.
The Fridge. You guys remember The Fridge? I remember, okay, here's what I remember. I remember listening as a kid to WCCI, and they played the Super Bowl Shuffle. Come on, the Super Bowl Shuffle. And I remember sitting there next to the radio with a tape recorder, and I tape recorded, that's when you could tape recorder the Super Bowl Shuffle, and then I could listen to it over and over and over, the Super Bowl Shuffle. What do you think his legacy is going to be? What? No? Okay. Yes, this is not an escaped convict. This is actually me on the golf course. You see, why are you guys laughing? I was stylish. I was so stylish back then. So, I mean, I was given golf clubs. I was given a staff bag that says Kerwin the Rev Bruner on it. I was given clothing. I was like titleless. I was like pretty decent when I worked in the golf industry. I'm not anymore. Scott will attest to that. I will not ever be known for my golf game, but this guy will be. Everyone, whether you play golf or not, knows this person. If you've never played the game of golf, you still know this person. Obviously, it's Tiger Woods. Is there any golfers in here? Oh, yeah, Jeff. Tiger Woods is going to be known for everything that he did on the golf course. What's his legacy going to be? The whole point of this morning is asking you this: what will you be remembered for? You see, this past Friday we buried Melissa's father, And that's what kind of spurred this message on. What are we going to be remembered for? So I'm going to introduce you to one more person. His name is Tug McGraw. Now, this is before my time. So any of you old-timers remember the name Tug McGraw? I did not know a lot about him, but this is what he is, or who he was back then. Tug McGraw was quite the baseball pitcher. He won two World Series with the New York Mets and was one of the best closing pitchers in Philadelphia Phillies history. McGraw was a team cheerleader for his guys, and he also came up with that phrase, "You gotta believe." He might still be on television, but his life took a drastic turn when they discovered a brain tumor. When they discovered a brain tumor in 2003, when he was 59 years old, the doctors gave him 3 weeks to live. 3 weeks. See, it doesn't matter about your fame, it doesn't matter about your fortune when you have only 3 weeks to live. Well, he actually lived 9 months, pouring his time into his family, into a legacy dedicated to curing brain cancer, and even to reconciling with a part of his past that he tried to ignore. He had a wife and kids, but he also had another son that he actually had ignored. His other son was named Tim Tribble. Tim Tribble. And Tim reached out. He was digging through his mom's stuff, and he found his birth certificate, and he realized that his favorite baseball player of all time was Tug. And so he actually reached out to Tug when he was a junior high kid. And there was no connection. There was no hope of a future together. There was just nothing. And then, once more as an adult, Tim reached out to Tug and tried it again. And the second time, there was a connection. And he actually changed his name to Tim McGraw, as you know, the famous country music legend. They finally became close. And when the news came that time was running out for Tug, they became even closer still. In the end, Tug McGraw even died at Tim McGraw's Nashville home. So you see, there is hope of reconciling with kids. In 2004, Tim's song, "Live Like You Were Dying," anyone ever heard of that, country fans? Stayed on the top of the charts for 10 weeks, breaking a record that had stood for 30 years and was named the top country song of the year by Billboard magazine. It was the story of a man who got the news that he was dying. A man on how he would live with the time that he had left. So my question for you this morning, would it make a difference if you learned you had very little time left? Would it change your priorities if you felt life slipping away? Well, guess what? We're all running out of time. Like, the legacy that you want to live can start today. If you don't like the legacy that is in your family, you can start a new one today. So, to talk about a legacy, though, I'm actually going to do something kind of a little bit different. We're going to look at the two greatest commandments that Jesus ever said. If you want to pull out your Bibles or your phones, your Bible app, we're going to be looking at Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. Before I read the scripture, though, I just realize the Sadducees had already given Jesus some questions. They had already said, they had already tried to trick Jesus giving things away. And so then we pick it up in 34. So when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. One of them, an expert in religious law, tries to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Obviously, he's talking about the Ten Commandments. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and all your soul and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second, equally is important, love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So why am I talking about that for your legacy? I'll get to that. So it's a twofold approach. Love God and love the people around you. Jesus modeled this perfectly. And his legacy has had more impact on the world than any other individual. No matter who, Jesus is well known throughout the whole world. It wasn't about money, property, or power. Instead, he left a legacy of loving God completely and sacrificially loving us. See, the question of loving God completely, how does that happen? The question of the most important commandment had long been settled among God's people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and might. And all of Israel knew this. They all knew it. But putting it in practice is different. So Jesus wasn't interested in the power and the wealth and the popularity, but he was passionate about his Father. Depending on God through prayer, through knowing the scriptures, by submitting to God's will, even at the cost of his own life. Well, what's involved in loving God completely? Well, the best question is, what's not involved? Because that really is it. If we turn to Mark 10, 17 through 22, there's another way to look at this. Let's read this. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Love Jesus' response. Why do you call me good? Jesus asked, only God is truly good. But to answer your questions, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, the man replied, I have obeyed all of these commandments since I was young. And looking at this man, Jesus felt actually genuine love for him. But there's still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face dropped, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. See, the rich young ruler insists that he kept all of the rules. Well, we know perfectly well that we cannot keep all of the rules. I broke a few in my day. Mom, you didn't hear that. He thought he could just buy his righteousness by giving into the temple offering. And yet he is still on his knees, still waiting for an answer from Jesus. And obviously something was missing from his life. The problem, he loved his wealth way too much to give it all away. And until he was willing to make that sacrifice, he could not actually have the one thing he lacked, which was Jesus. When we realize who Jesus is and what he offers us, we should be willing to give up everything. Jesus actually loved this person, the rich young ruler. But the man who came to him couldn't part with the things he loved. If loving God completely meant submitting every bit of his money to God, he couldn't cross that line. So he proved that he had been untruthful, obviously, in his claims. He claimed to have kept all the law since his youth, but he walked away having broken the greatest commandment. And therefore, he fell into the category of knowing the truth, but not dealing with it. How many of us are like that? Don't raise your hands. But here's the question. When people see others loving God completely, it changes their world. Let me take you back in history. Any history buffs here? So, historians tell us, well, let me back up. So, the Roman Empire was this huge, massive empire. But during that time, after Jesus rose from the dead, and the disciples were trying to figure out what to do, all of these Christians were being persecuted by the Roman Empire. All of these people that call themselves Christians were being scattered. They were just like going to the ends of the earth with the gospel, but because they were being persecuted in Rome, they had to leave. Well, during this time, there was two different plagues that happened in the Roman Empire. Two different plagues. And you can, obviously, this is all online, you can verify it. The first plague was the Antonine Plague. It happened in 165 to 180 AD. The Antonine Plague happened in 165 to 180 AD. And then the second plague, the Plague of Cyprian, was from 249 to 262 AD. One document says that in Rome, where millions of people lived, as many as 5,000 people died every single day. The bodies rotted on the streets, adding to the disease and filth of the city. The epidemic filled the people with terror. It was so devastating that when the first symptoms appeared, some villages just simply emptied out, leaving the sick behind. There was no cure, there was no hope, so they left the sick family members right in their beds and just ran for their lives. Well, guess who stuck around to help? It was the Christians. They did not run. They stayed and brought water to the sick. They fed them. They changed their bandages. They spoke kindly to them. They loved and encouraged them. They also got sick. There's no telling how many people were saved because Christians served. And there's no telling how many Christians actually lost their lives for serving. But the world is different today because in the middle of the devastating despair, those who followed Christ saw their opportunity to serve. See, Jesus would not have left the sick to fend for themselves. Jesus would not, he would have stayed. He would have healed. He would have loved on people. So they did what Jesus would have done. And the people in the world over were just stunned at the difference love made. The way these people acted, it was as different as light is from darkness. So that is why the Roman Empire is actually changed so dramatically. People could not ignore the actions of people who love God so passionately that they would be willing to give up their lives in his service. When you speak the gospel, people, and love generously, people listen. The lost will be saved. You can't bully people into the kingdom. You can't force a nation to follow Christ, but you can love on those people. And they, in turn, will come to know the Lord. So what about our church right now? What about our church? Can we love our community so much that people can't help but to see Jesus? If all the churches in Carroll County could do this, every church would be filled every Sunday morning. So let's be that church that loves people unconditionally. But there's a part to my message here. So we saw loving God, but now the other aspect of loving our neighbor. So there's a raging debate between two points of view. Was keeping the Sabbath more important than helping someone, or is helping a person more important than not doing any work on the Sabbath? Jesus simply says, love your neighbor as yourself, as we saw back in Matthew 22:39. Last week, yes, Tim, I was listening. Last week, Pastor Tim talked about the Good Samaritan. In referencing who is our neighbor, the story can be found in Luke 10, 30 through 37. We're not going to look at that right now. But when Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, certainly making most in the group cringe with the thought of crossing racial lines. You got to remember, Samaritans and Jews did not get along. So when a Jew is laying there, two other Jews pass by on the other side of the street, but the Samaritan comes and takes care of him. They did not want to cross the racial lines like that. As it turns out, loving your neighbor completely is very similar to loving God completely. It will take your entire heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's also impossible to accomplish this apart from Christ. But Jesus loved his neighbors perfectly. He was constantly criticized for befriending sinners. Sometimes they were prostitutes, other times they were tax collectors. Jesus loved even the religious people of the day. He was as comfortable in the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, the same as in the home of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Jesus loved them all until he had breathed his last. He would not even hate those who nailed him to the cross. Instead, he chose through the pain to ask God to forgive the very people that were executing him. I don't think I could do that. And he loved each and every one of us while we were still in our sin, enough to finish his work on the cross and die so that he could bring us life, which we get to celebrate in 2 weeks. You ask any pastor who spent a career preaching funeral sermons, as family and friends gather to talk about their loved ones, what do they talk about? They talk about how good the person was, typically. They talk about how wonderful that person is. They talk about how the dad, you know, coached Little League. They talk about how the mom comforted the pain of one of the children. They talk about family vacations, and they tell of vacations and days when they finally understood the sacrifice that the grandparents did. They talk about the birthday days and anniversaries and all these special events. So I have permission from Melissa to talk about this. So I had the privilege of meeting Rodney Eugene Dyson one time. This is his funeral service from Friday. I met him one time, and in that one time, we did a little ceremony basically asking for Tim and Melissa getting married. He wanted to give his daughter away one more time. And I asked him, like, really, to Tim? You're gonna give your daughter to Tim? And he firmly responded, his mother and I, yes, we do. I had to ask again because I didn't believe it. So this gentleman, Rodney Eugene Dyson, his kidneys and liver started shutting down. And as if you know that, that means the toxins can't release from your body. And so they actually took Rodney up to the Mayo Hospital. And they actually were basically like, he was so far with the kidneys and liver, they can only do so much. But during his time in the Mayo Hospital, he witnessed to every single doctor and nurse that came and waited on him. One of the nurses actually said, I want what you have. I want what you have. Because he had the joy and the peace of Jesus. Like during, when he was being discharged from the hospital, he actually took off one of his hospital bands and gave it to the nurse and said, every time you think of me and think of Jesus when you look at that band. So Tim and Melissa went up to get him from the clinic, and on the way home, he was sitting in the back seat. He knew that he was being discharged to go home to basically pass away. They already had hospice set up. But he worshiped and told about how great his kids were and just talked about how good he had it in the back seat as they drove the 4 or 5 hours home. But he never, ever lost his faith. Right up till the end, he shared how much he loves his kids. And this right here is the legacy that I want to have. See, when I met him, and when I found out that he passed away last Sunday at 3 a.m., simply legacy. That was the only thing that I could think of. What is your legacy? Thank you, Melissa, for letting me share that. I'm going to go ahead and ask for the team to come up. I know we're running a little late, but since I have the microphone and Tim can't do anything. So here's my conclusion while they're getting set up. The bottom line is this: everyone will leave a legacy. Everyone will leave footprints behind. Whether it's good, bad, or even indifferent, we all leave footprints behind us. What will we be remembered for? Our generosity or selfishness? Our anger or our joy? Like Michael Jordan, like Andre Agassi, like Lionel Messi, Tiger Woods, and even Tug McGraw. Will they only be remembered for what they did in their sports, or will they be remembered for what they've done off the court? Did they love their kids? Did they take time out for loved ones? When they weren't playing, did they invest in other people? There's only one way to leave a Christ-like legacy, to leave footprints that will last. I know footprints will last for Rodney. Will they be the same for you? I mean, you cannot do it on your own. The greatest two commandments are there to bring us life, to love God and to love others. That's the legacy. If you receive Christ's offer of mercy and let him fill your heart with the Holy Spirit, he will help you leave that legacy. Love God. Love people. May that be your legacy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you and we say thank you that we can come before you today. Lord, we know that our legacy can start new this very day. We can speak into our kids' lives. We can actually carry out what you want, Father. So we just pray that you would just have your way this morning, Lord, that we would just be able to focus on you and help us to leave the legacy that we want to leave. Amen and amen. One of the reasons that we sang earlier in the worship set was the blessing, where it talks about generation of generation and generation. Maybe you've had a rough life. Maybe you've actually had a bad time growing up. That does not define you. Someone needs to hear that this morning. Start your legacy today. The legacy that you want. Amen. You guys have an awesome, awesome week. God bless you guys. Love y'all.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.